11:15 WWIB. We're up to 21. It's a little cooler, Mabel Louise, here in the middle of the week.
Yes.
But we'll get spring coming pretty soon, and we're getting a little bit late in the month of February. You were just
mentioning it earlier. Imagine? Here
soon.
It is.
Yes.
Two more days in February?
2 days and we're into March.
Where did the time goes? And what a treat the Lord's given us with all these sunshiny days. And I know today is partly cloudy, but that's okay. We can lift somebody up with a nice smile. I know I had to go to the clinic early this morning, and oh my goodness, there was a man that met me coming out, and he looked like he'd lost his last puppy. But you know what? I gave him a big smile, and he looked up and smiled back. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And today, I want to keep emphasizing my series, and that is Behold Our God. All of this leading up to Easter. And I want to keep emphasizing that word behold, because this is what it means. Consider a most amazing thing. So all of life, of Jesus' life, is absolutely awesome and amazing. And so I'm covering some of the main events that took place in Jesus' life, and I hope that it's a blessing to you to be reminded, and also hopefully it will encourage you to read the Bible and to learn even more for yourself. Now today, I want to visit with you concerning the temptation of Jesus. I'm so glad the Lord included that in his life, because it's such a wonderful example for you and me. So let's think about it. What is temptation? Well, the definition of temptation is to test. Webster's dictionary says to entice to do wrong. Another way to describe it would be an enticement to act contrary to God's will. And this is exactly what Satan was attempting to do in the life of Jesus and in this opening situation. And you know what? It's what he continually tries to do with you and me. I don't know about you, but he's always bugging me. And every time we are enticed to disobey God with our thoughts, how about that? Oh my goodness. With our words that we say, how about our actions? And we have a choice to walk faithfully with the Lord or go our own way. Over in John, it talks about, I'm trying to remember the verse. It says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's interesting to me that the temptation of Jesus immediately followed baptism. It seems that so many times after we first accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that Satan will just bug us and try to get us to doubt the scriptures and to change our minds. So we need to take note of the fact that Mark 1:12 states, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Guess what? Jesus' temptation was God's idea. Remember, at Jesus' baptism, God pronounced Jesus as the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that experience had to be tested. The baptism experience would not mean anything if Jesus failed the test of his faith and of his obedience. So I guess we can conclude that our Heavenly Father arranged an immediate major test. Of course, of uppermost importance is the example that the Lord showed us that we too should be baptized following our acceptance of Jesus as our personal Savior. I remember I was baptized when I was 16 years old. An evangelist came to our church, and I was so touched by the gospel. And the Holy Spirit moved in my heart, and I reached over and grabbed my brother's hand, who was sitting next to me, and the two of us went forward to accept Christ as our personal Savior. And then a couple of Sundays later, we were both baptized at the same time. And it was a beautiful experience. I'll never forget it. So let me quickly read the scriptures from the book of John on Jesus' baptism. It says, "The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And by the way, not only was this recorded in the book of John, but also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, the definition of temptation, and of course this followed the baptism, Webster says it means to entice, to do wrong. It is interesting to me that the temptation immediately followed baptism. So many times after we first accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, Satan tries to come in and say to us, don't believe it, forget it, go about your old life, do what you want to do, and all those thoughts come to your mind. But Mark 1:12 states, the Spirit of God immediately drove him out into the wilderness. So right after the baptism came this experience of temptation. And I want to remind you again that this was God's idea. This was because at his baptism, God pronounced Jesus the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit had come upon him, and this experience needed to be tested. And so Satan's goal was to get Jesus to do something or just anything outside of the will of his Father. So he wants Jesus to do his own will instead of his Father's. So he's out to get him, just like he does you and me. And so I would like to take time to go through the three temptations. And if I have time, I want to give lessons to learn from this illustration and example of Jesus. And also, if not time, I'll continue on my next broadcast talking about how to handle temptation. So I'm turning to the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter. And the first temptation was this, and let me read from the scriptures. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So that was immediately following baptism. And it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And so Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, the first temptation, Satan is attacking Jesus at the point of his physical weakness. In other words, he was hungry. After all, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. The evil was that Satan wanted Jesus to do an illegitimate way of satisfying his hunger. Note the clever approach. If, that little word, if you are the Son of God. Remember, God had pronounced him earlier that he was the Son of God. So Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. And I just quoted that to you. One does not live by bread alone. You see, Jesus was obeying his Father's will. Think about this. Jesus was, as the book of John states, the Word of God became flesh. Jesus was and is the Son of God. But he had to become a man. He was a real human being. All of that because of your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world. If Jesus had yielded to Satan, the whole purpose of his coming would have been destroyed. Think of it. The whole purpose of his incarnation was on the line. But Jesus met the test. And as usual, Satan never gives up. And I can hear a lot of amens out in the audience. Yes, here's the second temptation. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city, meaning Jerusalem, and sat him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, and there's that little two-letter word, if, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And here Jesus said to him again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Think of it. The second temptation. Satan changed his reproach. And did you notice how he was able to quote the scriptures? Shame on us when we're not. Yes, he changed his approach this time. And this test was of public nature, wealth and power. It would be a crowd pleaser to come down out of the sky into the temple. And if he had jumped, he would have survived, but he would have lost his mission. think about it. It would have been considered sensationalism. Jesus chose the way of the cross. Yes, he did. He knew what was coming. Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut. Imagine. In a way, Satan was saying, you can have it all now, without all that humiliation and without all of that suffering. Just bow down to me, Satan was saying. But Jesus goes to the written word again, like he wants us to do. And he says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Oh my goodness, I only just got started. Tune in to my next broadcast and let me give you some tips on maybe you can handle and I can handle temptation. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.